time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
How you doing? Oh, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to the Hive O'Clock Alarm on this Thursday. We have Hive Talk Live Thursdays brought to you by ESPN 730 coming up tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. But first, I'm joined by David Walker, and we have a little standings check to do, David. We had a couple of key victories, or key losses, I should say, in the Eastern Conference that should help out the Charlotte Hornets. The Atlanta Hawks lose to Toronto. 18 turnovers for the Hawks led to 25 Raptors points. Toronto, the second seed in the East, getting the win over Atlanta, the third seed. And in the late game, which I actually managed to watch a large portion of before passing out, the Los Angeles... I did, I swear. I watched it all until the fourth quarter. I should have stayed, though, because the Lakers beat the Miami Heat in overtime. Overtime, 102-100, a game after the Los Angeles Lakers lost by 48 points. This was also the first game since the swaggy P... D'Angelo Russell tape gate. If you haven't heard about
Swaggy Gate.
If you haven't heard about this, folks, D'Angelo Russell in hot water with the rest of his teammates after secretly recording Swaggy P. Nick Young, the other guard for the Los Angeles Lakers, describing some of his infidelities with or towards his fiance Iggy Azalea, only in Los Angeles. I just speak the words and they sound ridiculous. D'Angelo Russell in hot water. What do you think about this whole situation, David?
Yeah, not a good situation, Doug. A young guy, a prank gone wrong is the company line, I guess. But, you know, Byron Scott's talked about D'Angelo's immaturity on the court. And
don't make us defend Byron Scott. Damn it, D'Angelo.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Yeah, I mean, but.
No, you're not. It's D'Angelo.
Because. Yeah, not a good move. I mean, got booed at home. the entire town of L.A. was probably booing him. But, you know, that's just not a smart thing to do to your teammate, to anyone you're going to play him with. I think, though, that, you know, the further we get away from this, like everything, I mean, it may cool down a little bit, but certainly, hey, I mean, maybe he should be taping more teammates at this point. They got a big win last night.
Yeah, maybe it inspired the troops. All right, so let's take a look. We know that D'Angelo Russell is last place in the Western Conference. Let's look at the Eastern Conference. With the losses by Atlanta and Miami, it looks like this. Atlanta still in the third seed at 45-31, and now a game back. The Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Charlotte Hornets all tied at 43-31. The Celtics have a game coming up tonight in Portland, and then the Hornets, of course, play the Philadelphia 76ers at home on Friday night, and we'll have a full preview of that game tonight on Hive Talk Live Thursdays, brought to you by ESPN 730. But, David, the Hornets, with a Celtics loss and a Hornets victory, have a shot by Friday evening to be in the driver's seat for the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. That's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting. If they have any hope of doing that, they really have to make hay this week. And I think next week it gets a little tougher. I believe they got Cleveland on Monday. So they've got their schedule obviously gets tougher anytime you play Philadelphia twice in a row. There's only one way to go. But for them to make up some ground here was imperative. And they'll just have to play this out. I do wonder, it's got to be a focus for this team to try and get that home court advantage, seeing how much of success they've had at home this year. And, you know, having kind of the rebirth of the Hive and that crowd, it's got to be something they want to do. If it's at all in reach, you got to think they're going to try and game plan for that, don't you?
Well, certainly, because, look, I think with the situation in the East being as close as it is, I don't think the teams really concern themselves with what matchup they're going to have, and they don't play that way. But I think if you're a fan and you're looking at it, you're going, well, look, if they get the fourth or the fifth seed, they're going to have to play Cleveland in the second round if they're able to get out of the first round. So, you know, I think if you're a Hornets fan, you'd rather play Toronto. But if you have to play Cleveland in the second round, then you want to be in the fourth seed. You want to have that home court advantage at least to get yourself out of the first round. So, yeah, I mean, if the Hornets are able to get that fourth seed and get home court advantage, it will do them wonders, I think. And look, I mean, they're only a game back of the third seed. Now, with only 8 or 9 games remaining for each team, it's going to be an uphill climb to, because you've got to you've got to get a full game above whatever team is below. You cannot tie them. So that will be a struggle for the Hornets as they start to do the math on the rest of the season, but it's still exciting.
I haven't looked at the other team's schedules as a comparison yet, but I mean, yeah, honestly, looking past the first round at this point, I get it, and it's exciting to do, and it's fun, but let's win a game. Let's get the Hornets in the win column. You know what I mean? I mean, not towards you or to anybody else. I mean, they put themselves in that position to have that conversation now. But, like, I'm still trying to guarantee this playoff spot at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it could happen on Friday if the Bulls, the magic number right now sits at 2. And so if the Bulls lose tonight against the Houston Rockets and the Hornets win on Friday night, then we could that's it. The Hornets will have locked up that playoff spot. And we're giving away tickets to that game tonight on Hive Talk Live Thursday. You have to listen live, though. We're only giving the tickets away to those folks that listen live at 6 o'clock p.m. on HiveTalkLive.com. Just another note on this Heat-Lakers game. This has to be a little bit of a warning to the Hornets, I think, as they prepare for Friday night's game, because the Heat certainly should have beaten the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the Lakers have more NBA talent than the Philadelphia 76ers, but you have to be focused. I mean, you have to beat these teams that you're supposed to beat. Just because your strength of schedule isn't high doesn't mean that these victories are guaranteed.
Yeah, they're at home. The Hornets have that going for them. They're not in L.A., so that won't be a distraction for the Sixers. But, you know, they just have a rather easy game against that team. So sometimes that can play with the team's psyche. And it's not out of the realm of possibility, or it's not out of character for this team to come out flat, even when you don't think they should, and or when you know they shouldn't, even at home. So, yeah, they got to stay locked in. I wonder if, you know, the Bulls, what they do tonight, will have any effect on it. It feels like I may be counting on that more than anyone else, because at this point, you know, 2 games, 1 game, whatever it is, the playoff berth seems like an inevitability. But still, yeah, you got to stay locked in. I mean, that's the thing with this team. That's been the theme with this team the whole season. So you have to think Clifford will have them locked in, but at this point, the players need to be there as well. I feel confident that they will. Friday night, home game, it should be a good crowd too. So, and you can be there. We'll be there for history.
That's right. And one of the final chances to see the Hornets, who play a lot of road games. I think they only have, 3 home games remaining. So listen live tonight and get a chance to see the Hornets in action before the playoffs. A guy who's always locked in, veteran power forward Marvin Williams, was on the Hang Time podcast with Siku Smith, and he had this to say: as far as my fit, my comfort level, my confidence level, I really feel like I fit in here in Charlotte. I'm really enjoying it. And I bring up this quote because we forgot to mention this, but Nicholas Batum, after the mm-hmm. last victory, said and after that triple-double game, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, really unprompted by Dale Curry's question, he said he loves playing here. He loves playing for the coaching staff. And I think we're starting to hear these quotes. And again, this was unprompted by Marvin. This was unprompted by Nicholas Batum. These guys are saying, look, I love playing in Charlotte. I love playing in this system. And you know, this system has brought the best out in several of these players, including Courtney Lee and Jeremy Lin, has brought the best out of these players as they look towards free agency. Could that have an effect, David, on whether or not the Hornets, a small market, is able to hold on to their free agents?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially everyone's going to have money. I mean, I guess not everybody, but I guess everybody will have some money. But I mean, the Hornets are going to be up there and have plenty of money to spread around. They're going to have to choose where to do it. But fit is absolutely goes into that thinking for some of these guys, especially some of these guys that have been around, right? I mean, look at Lin. He's been in different situations. Batum has been in only one situation, but he's been in the league long enough to know what else is out there and how things work as far as fit. And especially when you see a good fit and you feel a good fit and you're playing well and the team is having success, and you got a good coaching staff in place, and the culture is up and coming. I mean, all those things are going to go into factoring when what he does in the offseason. But you know, the guy that had to have the biggest smile on his face, or maybe two guys or three guys, when they saw that quote with Rich Cho, Michael Jordan, and Steve Clifford, certainly, because you're right, that kind of came out of nowhere, but he was borderline gushing over the status here in Charlotte now, which for fans as well, I mean, you got to like that because he's playing excellent basketball right now.
Hey, David, if the team fits, you must re-sign it. I've been watching far too much People versus OJ.
Wow.
Season finale coming up. Or series, really series finale.
You think it'll be a cliffhanger? Or second season? What are you looking for?
Well, we have a civil trial. They could go into that and many other things with OJ's life. OJ's life didn't end after the trial. It has been.
Well, Doug, if you can't get enough of that, you've talked about the ESPN doc that's coming out.
Seven and a half hours. Yeah. Chuck Klosterman called it one of the best things that ESPN has ever produced, and it's coming out in June. A 7.5-hour documentary on not only OJ, but his entire life and a lot of the situations that surrounded the trial. I'm looking forward to it because it is such a complex situation.
Well, yeah, and also I think, I don't want to get the network wrong, I want to say it's Esquire, but I could have just read that somewhere. They're putting the trial back on TV. So I think they're cutting it to the actual trial. I think they're chopping it down to like 12 hours. So clear your calendar. But yeah, that whole thing's going to be back on TV, so you can really dive in. Because you were probably just a wee youngster when that was going down, Doug. Right?
I was 95. What was that? I was about 7-8 years old. I remember the verdict. That's really all I remember.
You're taking notes. I'm sure you're taking notes and discussing it, but you know, it's good for a refresher.
I did some court TV hits. It was weird. 7-year old. Reporting
the beard
on.
was probably what helped you get that.
Oh, listen, but it was in full effect. I'm getting comments on my it's weird. I'm getting comments on my beard and how kempt or unkempt it is. All right, it's an odd thing. One last thing before we get out of here. Patrick Ewing was on the Vertical podcast. Man, Hornets are everywhere. I don't know if I just wasn't paying enough attention last season or if it really is this season.
I can't stretch out like I used to.
Patrick Ewing was on the Vertical podcast, and he says that he would want to head coach the Knicks if the Knicks came knocking. He said, if the Knicks called me and offered me that position or gave me an interview, I think it would be great. I've played there. I'm one of their best players. My number is in the rafters. I think it would be a great fit. David, he can't be any worse than Rambis has been or Fisher has been. I mean this could be a real thing, because they will have to have a coaching search this offseason.
At this point, what other move could they do to like energize it, aside from, I don't know, some out-of-the-box personnel move? I mean, can you think of a better fit, honestly? And he's a guy that deserves – a coach. I don't know if he deserves that particular situation. Joking, of course. But yeah, that'd be cool to see, right?
When you say he doesn't deserve it, you mean it would be bad for him? Yeah, I mean, not the other way around. Yeah,
he doesn't deserve that headache.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been an assistant since 2002, and he's been an assistant under Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, and now Clifford. So that's a pretty good coaching tree, and not a pretty good. That's a great coaching tree. So, yeah. Much has been reported about Patrick Ewing. Is he ready to become a head coach? I personally hate to lose him as, you know, a member of the Hornets staff. But if it was going to happen, I think that would be a great, I don't know about fit, but it would be at least a good storyline, returning to the place that made you famous, or you made famous, and making it happen. I think that'd be a pretty cool.
Let me ask you this, Doug. If that did happen, and I think that's going to happen, whether it's this year or next year, but sometime soon, because it's been talked about for a while and it should happen. But so that would be Mark Price, who's coaching the Charlotte 49ers. That'd be Patrick Ewing, who would go on for an NBA coaching job. So that starts to be – does that turn into like a thing, you think? Like, Steve Clifford.
Clifford's starting his own tree. And he's branching out from the Van Gundy tree and starting his own.
It's a small little bonsai tree.
Setting roots, small little bonsai tree. But it soon will be a strong oak tree.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. All right. Tonight, Hive Talk Live Thursdays brought to you by ESPN, 6 o'clock p.m., hivetalklive.com. Dustin Pfeiffer, a big announcement here. Dustin Pfeiffer, who you heard on the last Thursday show, he's joining the Hive Talk Live team as a special contributor. His first report will be on what has made Courtney Lee such a valuable addition to the team and how it could pay huge dividends in the playoffs. Plus, we'll play a portion of an interview that I'm about to conduct in mere hours with Jonathan Abrams, writer of the new book, Boys Among Men, which profiles the journeys of those who made the leap directly from high school to the pros. It's a fantastic book, amazing book. David, you and I will talk more in depth, and the entire interview will be played on Tuesday's show. And we're asking the question to Jonathan. This is an important question. Would Kobe Bryant have really played in Charlotte had the franchise not had a deal in hand with the Lakers, or had they just gone back on the deal? Would Kobe have been a Hornet? I'll ask Jonathan Abrams that, and we'll play a portion of that interview tonight. Definitely listen. Get a chance to win two tickets to Friday night's game against Philadelphia. Until then, Hornets fans, all hail the teal and purple.